by asking this question, how well do you know God? Okay? For a lot of people, the real question would be, do you know God at all? Okay? A lot of people know a lot of things about God. They have information about God. And then we've also said that there's a lot of people who know a lot about God that just isn't so. And people say things like, well, the Bible says this, or the Bible says that, or God does this, or God does that, or my God wouldn't do this, or my God wouldn't do that. And a lot of that stuff just isn't right. It's not so. See? So this is all about getting to know God better. It's not about knowing about God. It's about getting to know God. Okay? A personal relationship with Him, but not even just a personal relationship. You know, I talk about that all the time. I've been doing that forever, talking about having a personal relationship with God, because that's what He wants. But really what we're focusing on in this series of lessons is interacting with God in some very valuable ways. And doing that interaction, okay, is really, I think, the thing that will help to increase our relationship or take it to a new level, okay, in our relationship with God. And that's what we're wanting to do. It's not about passing information, all right? It is about an experience with God. In certain specific areas where we can interact with God, where we need to interact with God, that will help enhance or build our relationship with Him. And we've talked about these seven areas. This is what we are focusing on. We talked about, as we began, about grace. Last week we talked about God's justice, and today we're going to be talking about accepting God's discipline. But we're also going to focus on the love of God, the sovereignty. We're going to talk about prayer, that is our communication with God. And then finally, we're going to look at victory. All right? So those are these areas that we're focusing on to help us in these areas of interacting with God, to help build and strengthen and increase our relationship with Him. The other part of this is we've been really trying to focus on sharing Jesus with other people. It's trying to help others not just to know about Jesus, but to have a relationship with Him. So it's changing someone's life, as we were talking about in our Bible class this morning. Just sharing Jesus with people, okay? Tell them about Jesus. And it's also, as we're trying to do, but it's challenging people to have an interaction with Jesus in these areas that we're talking about. So it's those people in our Jerusalem and our Judea and Samaria, the people in our lives that we want to help to have these interactions with Jesus so they too can share in a relationship with Him. Okay? So, again, as I mentioned a moment ago, lesson number three is accepting His discipline. Now, you know, of all the different things that the Bible talks about, and of all these seven areas of interaction that we're looking at in this particular study, I kind of tend to think that this one is one of the toughest for us to do. Okay? You know, being a Christian is really pretty easy if you think about it. All right? As long as things are going well. Right? Everybody agree with me? Some of you going, uh-huh. Right? You know, when everything's going well, when my life is great and everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing and life is grand, it's easy to follow Jesus. But when things aren't going well, when we have trials and tribulations and hardships that we're going to see this morning, sometimes are God's way of disciplining us. That's when it becomes really tough. So the choice and the challenge that I want to offer to everyone this morning as we look at this area of discipline is, are you willing to accept God's discipline in your life? Okay, think about that as we look at this whole topic of discipline. Okay? We need to understand this, that discipline demonstrates love. And that's one of the things that it accomplishes, is discipline demonstrates the love of a person. The Lord, the writer of Hebrews says in verse 6, the Lord disciplines those he loves and punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Okay? So if the Lord is disciplining you in some way, then that's a demonstration of his love in your life. Now, you may not think that at the time. Okay? You may be thinking, you know, now God doesn't love me, doesn't care about me, or he wouldn't be putting me through this. But I promise you that God is demonstrating his love to you. Let me illustrate it to you this way. Isn't that a cute little girl right there? That is our daughter, Katie, when she was about 3 years old. Somewhere in that age. And one of the things that Cindy and I did with her and with our son Kyle as he came along, when they were young, you know, there were times when we'd have to discipline them. We'd have to give them a spanking for something, and we did that, okay? But one of the things that we always tried to do when we had to give them a spanking for something was to reassure them of our love. And so, you know, I would say things, just say something like in this one particular occasion that is kind of, you know, burned into my memory, that we would say, I would say, well, Katie, you know, I love you very much, but what you did was wrong, and you're going to have to get a spanking. And so that's kind of how we did that with them, both of them. Well, there was one occasion that I did that with Katie, and I could not tell you right now what it was that she did that where she deserved a spanking, okay? I couldn't tell you that, but I can tell you, here's what happened. Whatever it was she did, I told her, I said, Katie, Daddy loves you very much, but what you did was wrong, and you're going to have to get a spanking. And she looked at me, you see those big brown eyes that she has? She looked at me with those big brown eyes of hers, and she said, you don't love me, Daddy. Now, have you ever heard the expression where a parent might say to their child when they're getting ready to spank them, this is going to hurt me more than it does you? Yeah, boy, I tell you, man, that was the hardest spanking I ever had to give that little girl. I don't mean hard physically wise. It hurt me. But I did it because I loved her. And I wanted her to learn, to grow up, and to know what was right and what was wrong. And that, yes, there are consequences for your actions. And that's what God does with us. He demonstrates his love. And at times we might look at him and say, you don't love me, God. But we need to be reassured that indeed he does love us. And that's why he's disciplining us. And he's demonstrating how much he loves us when he does that. You see, discipline really helps to define the relationship. Okay. Now, you know, with my children growing up, I admit, and they'll tell you, I was strict on them. You know, here's the rules, and you got to follow the rules. Okay, and so yes, when they did things that they weren't supposed to do, they got punished. But I'll tell you this, and probably most of you have experienced this. I've been out, you know, with other people and their children, and I have seen other children misbehaving and doing things that they shouldn't have been doing, okay? But I didn't get up and spank those children, okay? It wasn't my place to do that. Now, I promise you there were some of them that I thought needed it really bad, okay? But, you know, that wasn't my place. And I saw some parents who would sit back and go, aren't they cute? And just let them do whatever they wanted to do. And I'm going to say this. This just came to my mind here. I'm not going to charge anything extra for this, okay? the one area that I look at, and if you've done this, then, you know, hey, I'm just going to say it, okay? Don't count to 10 for your kids, okay? If you love your children, discipline them. Let them know by disciplining them, give them what they need, and move on, okay? I see parents doing that. 1, 2, 3. By the kid knows by the time I get to 10, you're going to get it. And so they get up to 8.5, 9, 9.25. And what's that tell them? Because they really don't want to. They don't love their child enough to do what's needed. Okay? Now, you may not agree with me on that. If you want to come talk to me, I'll talk to you, but let's look at what the Bible has to say. My point is that it defines the relationship. Those other children that I saw messing around, they're not my kids. You see? They're not my children. So, you know, their parents are going to have to deal with them. Not me. Discipline defines the relationship. Look at what the Bible has to say. Beginning in verse 4, the writer says, "In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." In other words, the writer here in the context of this is talking about the struggles and the hardships that Christians face in life. Okay? And he says, you haven't struggled or resisted to the point of shedding your blood yet. You think it's rough. You haven't done that yet. And he goes on to say, you have completely forgotten this word of encouragement, okay, that addresses you as a father addresses his son. You see, there's the relationship, isn't it? As a father addresses his son. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chasten everyone he accepts as his son. Okay? Endure hardship as discipline, he says. God is training you as his children. You see, that's the relationship between a father and his children. That God says discipline is so vitally important. And he gives us that discipline because we are his children and he loves us. My child, when the Lord, I can't read that part of it. When the Lord corrects you, pay close attention and take it as a warning. The Lord corrects those he loves. And look at this last part. As a parent corrects a child of whom they are proud. You see, again, that's the relationship. And discipline defines that. You know, it may bother me because it's annoying when I'm around kids that are undisciplined, but you know what? That's not my problem. They're not mine. It's not mine to deal with, and I can leave and leave the parents to have to suffer the consequences of their lack of discipline. But those who are mine, we have a relationship. You say, because I love them, I'm going to discipline them. The wise man in Proverbs says, those who spare the rod, look at this, hate their children. But those who love them are careful to discipline them. That's the relationship. It is a love relationship between parent and child. You see? Between a God who loves and his children. Jesus in Revelation to John, chapter 3 and verse 19, talking about the churches there, he says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Those whom I love. See, it's all about the relationship that God has with his children. And in verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 12, the writer there tells us, endure hardship, okay? Hardship, that's the difficulties, the trials, the tribulations that we face in life. He says, endure those as discipline. God is treating you, look at this, as his children. So again, so often we look at the difficulties and the trials and the tribulations, the hardships that we face in this life as Christians, and we say, God doesn't care about me. I'm here to tell you this morning, that's a lie that Satan wants you to believe. The reason that you're going through those things is perhaps because God is disciplining you in some way. And you'll see the reason why, other than His love, in just a moment. But He's disciplining us through those hardships, those difficulties, those trials and tribulations that we face, because we are His children. And He goes on to say, for what children are not disciplined by their father? Life is full of all kinds of hardships, isn't it? In fact, I don't know about you, but for me, it seems like as soon as I kind of feel like, boy, life is good. You ever get that feeling? Life is good, you know? Everything seems to be falling in place. Everything's working well. All the wheels are oiled and there's no squeaks and everything's going along. And then all of a sudden, bam. There's that hardship, that wrecking ball, if you will, that comes in. And it's like, where did that come from? You ever experienced that? Yeah. Because life is full of hardships. And God allows us to face those hardships, oftentimes to correct and to train us. Hardship, I saw this and I like this, hardship is part of the corrective prescription that our lives all need. See? And God, being the great physician that He is, He knows what we need in that regard, doesn't He? So He gives us that. All right? In fact, children who are not disciplined by their parents feel unloved. You know, back when, in my days in police work, one of the things, and I encountered a lot of young people, teenagers in police work, and usually when I encountered them, it was because they were in some kind of trouble. Now, I didn't realize back then, I wasn't doing it for any scientific research project or anything else. It was just more curiosity, more than anything else. I used to ask the kids that I would pick up, I'd arrested them for this or that or whatever it was, I used to always ask them one question. What are your parents going to say when they find out about this? And the overwhelming answer, okay, I mean, not even close was anything else. I mean, occasionally I'd get a kid who'd say, my dad's going to kill me. Occasionally. But more than any other, by far, the response that I got from those kids was, my parents don't care. They don't care. How did they know that? Because they felt like they could do anything they wanted to do and there were no consequences. See? No consequences. There's no discipline. And that translated to those kids, my parents don't care about me. And that's what happens when we refuse to discipline. Right? We need to understand how important discipline is to defining the relationship that we have. Right? The second thing is that discipline corrects our path. That's part of what it's designed to do. It's a correction thing here, okay? The word discipline, in the Greek language, the word is sophronismos. And that word literally means saving the mind. Okay? Saving the mind. Think about that for just a moment. Okay? And admonishing or calling to soundness of mind or to self-control. That's discipline. Right? It's corrective action to save someone's thinking. We've talked about so many times, and we mentioned Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. That's what? Behavior. but be transformed or change your behavior by the renewing of your mind, by changing your mind. It's about our thinking. Okay? And so discipline is an effort to change the thinking, which then in turn changes the behavior. By definition, that's what discipline is. It's designed to change our thinking so that we change our behavior or correct our path that we're going in. All right? Discipline then is about teaching. It's not just about punishment. And too many times when people think of discipline, they hear the word discipline, all they think about is punishment, spankings, or whatever the case may be. But we need to understand that discipline, first and foremost, is about teaching. Okay? Now, it may involve some kind of punishment, all right? But it's not just punishment. Punishment is a form or a part of discipline. It's intended to correct that behavior. And God oftentimes uses that on us, because the direction that we're going in with our behavior is destructive to us. And so God wants to correct our behavior and change the path of the course that we're on so that we're not lost. And He uses discipline and sometimes punishment to do that. Okay? God disciplines us, the writer of Hebrews goes on to say, for our good. In order that we may, look at this, share in His holiness. So the correction that discipline is intended by God is to get us off of the direction where we're going to unholiness and get us going in the right direction toward holiness. To correct our path. Why is that so important? And notice that he says here, it doesn't seem pleasant at the time, but sometimes it's painful, isn't it? And you know yourselves that sometimes the discipline that God has used on you, I know it has on me, that it is painful. But when I keep in mind what God is trying to do and I realize, okay, there's something I'm missing here, or so I'm going in the wrong direction, it's much easier to accept because I know what God is trying to do. He's trying to correct me. You see? And why? Because He wants me to share in His holiness. And that's what He wants for you. Look at what He says in verse 14. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Why is that so important? Why does God correct us so that we can share in His holiness? Because what He says next is this: without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That's why it's so important that God corrects us, that He disciplines us to help us so that we can share in His holiness, because without that, we will not see Him. Because God loves us, as we saw first, and the relationship of a father to his children, He wants us to be with Him. And so He disciplines us. He corrects our behavior so that we can share in His holiness. Okay? Look at what the wise man says in Proverbs 12 and verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But whoever hates correction is stupid. Okay? We need to understand that. If we despise, especially God's correction, we're stupid for doing that. Okay? We need to allow and accept God's discipline in our lives, knowing that it is what is best for us. For man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and He examines all his paths. God is watching everything that you're doing and that I'm doing. There's nothing that you can hide from God. He's watching every step. And He's wanting to correct those steps that will lead you in the wrong direction, away from Him. He goes on to say, "Blessed is the man you discipline, O Lord, the man you teach from your law." And then, "He who neglects discipline despises himself, but he who listens to reproof acquires understanding." So again, what are you going to do with the Lord's discipline? Okay? If you neglect it, if you just reject God's discipline, okay, then you despise yourself, he says. You don't care enough about yourself, see, to accept God's discipline and what He wants for you. But when you accept, you listen to God's correction, okay, that takes you to that place of sharing in God's holiness. Right? And finally, discipline produces a harvest. Okay? In other words, we go through this discipline, and it shows the relationship that we have, and it corrects our behavior, but the end result is what? Well, according to what the writer says here, it produces a harvest, all right? There is a particular harvest that comes about, and that harvest is one of righteousness. Look at what he says in verse 11. "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." A harvest of righteousness, or right living, which then leads us to sharing in God's holiness. You see how this is all connected, one to the other, right? The wise man in Proverbs 29 says, "Discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart." You see what discipline does? That's the kind of harvest that it produces. Peace and delight and joy in our lives. In Proverbs 23, 13 and 14, he says, "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish them with a rod, they will not die. Punish them with a rod and save them from death." That's part of the harvest. You say, they're being saved from death. Now, there are those who object to corporal punishment. They'll say, "You're going to punish them, you're going to beat them with a rod." That's not what he's saying here. Okay? He's not talking about beating children or anything like that. He's talking about discipline, the rod of discipline. Okay? When administered in a proper way, will save a child from death. In 29 and verse 17, he says, "Discipline your children, and they will give you peace. They will bring you the delights you desire." There's that harvest. See? You have a child who is undisciplined and out of control. There's not a whole lot of peace, and there's not a whole lot of delight and a whole lot of joy in that family. See? And so the harvest, in part, is that peace and that delight and that joy. You know, those spankings that we gave to Katie and Kyle as they were toddlers growing up, it wasn't long before, and I couldn't even tell you how old they were the last time we ever had to physically spank them. See? I'm not saying they were perfect kids. They were just like any other kids, but we didn't have a lot of discipline problems with them growing up because they learned early on, and so we had a lot of joy and a lot of peace, a lot of delight. You see, there's that harvest, that payoff, if you will, when we're willing to discipline and when we're willing to be disciplined by God. We have peace in our own lives. Say, "He who heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray." You see, it's one or the other, isn't it? Accepting God's discipline, or in this case, heeding His discipline, right? That's how we find the way to life. But without it, we're led astray. Accepting God's discipline then allows for our growth. And that's the thing we need to remember. We've got to decide, are we going to accept His discipline in our lives? Which I think the more that we do that, the stronger our relationship with Him can become. Because we understand why He's doing that. Because He loves us so much. And He wants to correct our behavior before we're destroyed. So that we can experience and reap a harvest, ultimately, of not only holiness, but eternal life with Him. So we need to accept God's discipline for what it really is. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ." In all things grow up. Okay? Into Him. Sometimes we speak the truth, it's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult to hear someone tell us the truth. But when we do that in love, as God does with us, okay, it's intended to help us to grow in our relationship with Him. Knowing God in this particular way, and that is in accepting His discipline, makes all the difference in the world in terms of our relationship. So, I'm challenging you this morning to be thinking about maybe the things that are going on in your life right now are things that are troubling, they're things that are difficult to be going through, they're hardship, there's turmoil, whatever it might be, please understand it as God's love for you that He is disciplining you. Perhaps to correct the path that you're on at that time in your life, but ultimately to help you to share in His holiness. Because He loves you. Whatever might be going on in your life at this particular point, if it's difficulty, trials, tribulations, hardships, you need some help or some encouragement to deal with those things, let us know that so we can help you. Because that's part of the way that God uses His people is to help one another and encourage one another to get through those discipline times. Okay? We can't help if we don't know what's going on. So we have an opportunity for anyone to be able to let us know how we might be able to serve you and to help you. And particularly this morning in this area of accepting God's discipline. But there also may be, and someone who's online, someone who's here with us this morning that is not yet a Christian. That you have not given your life to Christ, you need to understand that until you do so, you are separated from God by your sin. And if you die in that condition, you will be eternally lost. But because God loves us so much, He sent His Son to die in our place, as we talked about last time, God's justice, to take our place on the cross, to accept His love. Have our sins washed away so that we could be reconciled to Him. And anyone who needs to do that can do that right now. If you're here with us present, physically, you can do that right now. All you got to do is let us know that you're ready to make a commitment. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God. Have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. All you got to do is come up and let me know. For those who are worshiping with us online, if there's someone out there who is not yet a Christian and you desire to become one, then the same thing. Repent of your sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism. All you got to do to make that happen is to contact us. I'm going to put phone numbers up here in just a moment. You can contact us and let us know that you want to make that commitment, and we'll do whatever it takes as soon as possible for you to get here so that we can baptize you into Christ Jesus and you can become His child. Tom has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song, and those of you who are here with us can stand and we'll sing that song together. those of you who are worshiping with us online, you can stand or you can sit, whatever you want to do. But the point is, be thinking about your relationship with God and what can we do to help that relationship. Let's stand together and sing.